This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3246 for Monday the 11th of January 2021. Today's show is entitled, Alexcast, Freeing the Fairphone 3 and Many Other Phones, not, and is part of the series, Podcast Recommendations. It is hosted by 2B Frank, and is about 29 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, we look at how to get a free smartphone operating system on the Fairphone 3 and many other phones.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today, a podcast recommendation for you, LXcast, from our good friend, 2B Frank. New podcast in English, open source, freedom, tech, what's not to love?
Welcome to LXcast number 3. My name is 2B Frank and in this episode we will be talking about freeing the Fairphone 3 and many other phones, introducing a great free operating system called E for the FP3 and many others that you can install or that you can purchase already pre-installed phones with, which is a very good option. So let's get right into it to learn more. Okay, so last time I talked about the Fairphone when it had just come out. That's about a bit more than a year ago, I think. The Fairphone 3 is sustainable, easily repairable, and long-lasting fair trade phone. If you want to learn more about that, have a look at LXcast number 2 here on the page in the show notes or at lxcast.net. The Fairphone came out in 2019, I think, in October, I think, it shipped. And it had only stock Android number 9 back then with the full Google Apps installs that you can't really uninstall, which means Google is regularly looking over your shoulder when you use the phone. And that is really not great for privacy-aware users. If you want to install an alternative operating system on your phone, back then there wasn't really an option that was stable or really usable. In the meantime, at least two solutions have emerged. One is Lineage OS, the free Android with the G apps removed. I should put the link in the show notes, but that is not the one I'm going to talk about mainly today. Today we're talking about the E project. It is a de-Googled operating system, also based on Android, and it is actually a fork of Lineage OS. And you can find more about it under the email address https://e.foundation. Yeah, naming a problem just with the letter E and a slash before it and a slash afterwards actually poses one or two problems when you look for it online. But if you look at e.foundation, then you will find the actual website. It will be in the show notes anyway. So why would you want to install a different operating system on your phone? Well, on the E page, they say smartphones quietly transformed into surveillance devices, sharing our personal data with the highest bidder or with government agencies to predict and influence our actions. On their website, they actually quote a study from a Professor Douglas C. Schmidt, Professor of Computer Science at Vanderbilt University. And it's a very in-depth study, basically saying that how much Google is using the Android phone and actually the Chrome browser that is pre-installed on the Android phone. to collect a large amount of data on every user. Just a quick quote from that study. Android sends periodic updates to Google servers, including device type, cell service carrier name, crash reports, and information about apps installed on the phone. It also notifies Google whenever any app is accessed on the phone. So it collects a whole of a lot of data and will share a lot of unique identifiers of your phone with Google servers. And the study, in a graphic on their site, they say that based on that study, when active, phone with GApps contacts Google servers about 90 times an hour, and when inactive about 40 times an hour, as compared to an iPhone, which still does that, but a lot less, actually. Well, when active, an iPhone contacts 55 times an hour Apple servers. So that's a good reason to actually get rid of most of the Google apps on your phone and be a bit more serene, I would say. I put this article and another article in the show notes because it's definitely worth a read. It might be even worth being a separate episode because it is so fundamental. And many users, I've often compared this to a toaster, many users just buy the phone as is and use it as is and don't change anything and don't really want to think about how much of their privacy is going out over the internet without them knowing or without them wanting to know, without Google telling them. So what does the eProject offer to get rid of this? They have announced a partnership with Fairphone for the Fairphone 3. That is great. That means you can buy Fairphones now from the eFoundation pre-installed with the Google system, which has a replacement of many apps. And just a little more about the EOS. It's open source, it's pro-privacy and fully de-Googled. All Google services have been removed and replaced with Micro-G services. Basically, Micro-G is an open source implementation of Google apps without the spying parts that report to Google. Micro-G replaces Google's libraries with purely open source implementations without hooks to Google services, they say. They promise no data scanning or location tracking 24/7 until you install apps that are less privacy aware, I would say. But more on that later. You can check built-in trackers in apps before installing. Store or backup your data in your private space instead of Google Drive for cloud storage. You get E's own cloud, which is based on the open source Nextcloud. So who's behind it? The man behind the E project is Gael Duval, who is a big name, I think, in the open source community. He, back in the day, in the 90s, I think, in the late 90s, early 2000s, he started Mandrake Linux, which was one of the first really user-friendly, easily installable Linux operating system versions that made it popular. He then was the head of an online cloud service, I think, called Ulteo. I'm not sure if it exists anymore. And I'm adding an article here in the show notes from Gael Duval himself, who says, basically outlines the basics of what, when he started the project in 2017, back then it was a crowdfunding campaign via Kickstarter and another platform, I think, and what his vision is. And his article is called EOS Redefines the Mobile Operating System Paradigm for a More Sustainable World. It's definitely worth a read, and it's a very interesting personality, no doubt. Now, you can buy a Fairphone 3 because we're focusing on the Fairphone 3 here, and the Fairphone 3 Plus with E pre-installed at their shop at the website. The Fairphone 3 Plus is a little more sophisticated version with a better camera module, I think. But otherwise, it's identical to the original Fairphone from a year and a half ago. Every time it's about like 30 euros more than the stock Fairphone when you buy the version that has E pre-installed. But that's definitely worth the price. Plus, you get regular updates. Another word, you have some more offers on the website. You can buy, for example, a slightly older Galaxy S8 or S9, which are refurbished and pre-installed with the E system. But I've recently seen a review in a German magazine that there are a few quirks and it doesn't work quite as well. Whereas I have to say on the Fairphone 3, it works just like pretty much flawless. I haven't had any trouble with it whatsoever. Can definitely, absolutely recommend it. And there's another phone to come. That's a Gigaset GS290 that I don't know much about. I think it's Gigaset is Siemens. German brand, which doesn't mean that much anymore since all our phones are built and made in China these days. Now, there is also the option to install the EOS on your phone, be it if you already have a Fairphone. This works for the Fairphone 3 and the Fairphone 2 as well, I think. You can also install EOS on an existing phone. And there are over 110 devices supported at the time of writing of this. From Asus to Google to OnePlus. I actually tried this with an older OnePlus X phone I had in my drawer. And it worked just fine. And it works really well. And it's a great way to mostly for these phones that are 3-4 years old, the manufacturers don't update them anymore. And you have an obsolete version of Android, which is actually a security risk if you're permanently online. So installing EOS on that is a definite option. There's a list on the website where the device is supported. Each time you get the instructions of how to do it, security precautions, you should always make a backup of the data you have on that phone, on the SD card or somewhere else, to be sure if anything goes wrong. So have a look at that. I'll include the list of the devices they support for now in the show notes. Now, back to the Fairphone 3. As I said, I had the stock version of the Fairphone 3 and actually spent about almost a year giving away like my address book and stuff to Google without actually wanting to do that. But there's so many automatic backup and sync options in Android that are more and more difficult to turn off. The vocal assistant and all that. I was going to say crap, which can be helpful, but they're permanently listening and I don't trust them. And I am ready to not have that speech to text version of a program not having that option of dictating text for text messages and everything in order to be a little more secure and not have someone listening to me permanently. For me, it involved replacing the standard Android was backing up my data. I used ADB for that, which is the Android debug bridge, which is so you hook up your telephone to a computer with Linux or Windows, or I think you can even do it on Mac, and then you access your phone from there. And you can actually flash some new system on it. You can do a complete backup. And you have various other options. I shall do a different episode or a blog post on ADB later on, because it's a bit more stuff to say about this that can fit in this episode. The EOS also has its own app store with ratings, which sometimes are not. It looks like no one has rated the apps yet, but what you can definitely look at is the privacy evaluations by an entity called Exodus Privacy. And you should try it for WhatsApp or Zoom for their apps. I don't recommend installing them on your phone. And if you look into the app, into the Exodus Privacy site or in the App Store of the iOS, you see why, because they pretty much have demand every permission there is almost to have access to your phone, to your contact list, to your camera, to your microphone. Now, for some applications like Zoom or WhatsApp, that is definitely at sometimes useful and sometimes necessary to access your microphone and your camera. But once they have it, what else do they do with it? Even when you're not using the app, you don't know. Anyway, back to the App Store. So this is the iOS App Store. They've written their own App Store. It's a replacement for the Google Play Store. And it focuses mainly on open source apps that are privacy friendly. And definitely more the way to go than installing if you look for some text-to-speech or OCR, which is optically character recognition, which I searched recently. You find everything in the Google Play Store and you have no clear idea whether these apps are sending you ads or reading all your address books and your phone status and all of that or not. In the App Store from iOS, you can have a look at what permissions they actually ask for and how privacy secure they are. Now, I also installed another App Store called F-Droid, which is another excellent open source App Store that focuses on open source software and which I've used for years, which I'm a bit surprised, by the way, that they haven't used as a standard app store in iOS because it's right down their alley. And I did that because I use F-Droid in parallel because some apps you don't find in the iOS app store. In our days, for work or for whatever reason, or to stay in touch with your friends, if you need an app, then you can find on neither the app store or the F-Droid app store. There's an app called Aurora Store, which allows you to install Google apps without having a Google account. That is an option. What other features are there typical for the iOS? There's the eLauncher, which reminds me a lot of the Samsung launcher. And I didn't find it great, but then in Android and with these app stores, it's not difficult to replace it. I would recommend the Simple Launcher or one or two others, which I will put in the show notes. What else is great about the iOS, and I don't think Lineage OS does that, is you get regular over-the-air updates for the systems, as you do with a normal Android. At some point, a system notifies you there's a new version available, and you can reinstall, update the system. Now, sometimes you should wait a couple of days or a week when you see a new update before actually flashing it, because a friend of mine told me some people have had problems because there were one or two bugs in the new system update. I have never experienced anything like that. For me, the system updates just worked fine. And there's a reasonable selection of apps in the iOS. For example, Magic Earth, a program called Magic Earth, replaces Google Maps, because Google Maps, the downside is it is a very good app, I have to say, but the downside is Google knows all the time where you are, where you're going, and how you're going. And that is a bit worrying too. So Magic Earth doesn't track you as far as we know. And you got offline maps. You don't have to have internet coverage to be using the map. You download them when you're in a Wi-Fi or when you're in a spot where you have a decent internet connection. And then you use them. There's a standard email client, the excellent Open Camera app, as the photo app. There's a gallery, there's contacts, pretty much what we know from standard Android. There's the LibreOffice viewer to view Microsoft Office docs and stuff like that. You can only view them, you can't edit them, unfortunately, in LibreOffice viewer, but at least it's a fully open sourcing app. There are SMS apps and a few more. I recommend adding, if you want to go open source applications and replace most of your commercial applications, adding AntennaPod for podcasts, as in antenna and pod, Fair Email, which for me is the best email client on Android. It has a lot of settings that might put off some users if you are worried by too many options. And you could use another client that's called Simple Email. Fennec, which is the Firefox version, open source Firefox version on F-Droid and the App Store. The e-app store, Signal Messenger, if you want a secure messenger, certainly makes sense. And there's a few others, like Simple Calendar, from the same guys who do Simple Email, which does just what it says, and it's open source, and it doesn't necessarily sync your calendar with Google service if you don't want that, which I definitely don't. And then there's an app called NewPipe that I would recommend for watching YouTube without being tracked. So, are there any downsides to installing EOS or buying a phone with EOS? Well, I can only talk about the installed version of EOS on the Fairphone, but I think it's identical to what you're going to purchase. I can't see any. For me, as I said, everything worked just fine out of the box, except for maybe a banking app I had to use, which sometimes I have to restart to get the confirmation if I'm doing online banking. I'm usually doing this on my computer, and this is an additional security step which you have to validate on your phone. As I said, sometimes it doesn't come up immediately, then you have to end the app and restart it, and then it always works. That's not such a big trouble really to go through. A few caveats. Recently, the backup via ADB, the Android debug bridge on the Fairphone, seems to be broken. You can't do it that way anymore. But that is not the fault of the EOS. That is something that has happened, occurred in Android, and between Android and ADB. I'm not quite sure why. One of the downsides is the recovery. There's a recovery partition on every Android phone, and back in the days there used to be the possibility to flash a new recovery. That means rewrite that standard recovery partition, and from there you have a program that's called, for example, TWRP, that allows you to flash the main image of the main system or make backups of your data partitions and play them back. But you can do it with a different method. Basically, you start a program called TWRC on your computer via ADB, and then it should be able to make a backup. So that's basically concludes our tour of the EOS on the Fairphone 3. In conclusion, what would I say? I think it's a brilliant project. It's the most comprehensive yet for a real free Android alternative. And I think it's perfect if you want to buy an already free Fairphone 3 pre-installed. No hassle, not having to worry about rewriting your phone or anything. And it's also a way to combine a fair, repairable, sustainable phone with an operating system that is free, where you're not being tracked. The perfect match, as far as I know. One more mention, the project is an open source project, and it calls for donations. It offers membership models, where you can actually donate a certain sum per month or per year, and you get several benefits from that. That's pretty much it. Okay, that's all for this time on AlexCast. Keep it open source and don't give them your data. And in these times of pandemic and Brexit, don't pay the ferryman until he gets you to the other side. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.